This is a podcast from JUF.org.
Peter Saltzman is a Chicago-based musician with a dozen albums to his credit. His new project, Blues, Preludes, and Feuds, is a multimedia autobiography. He will perform it on October 1st at Pianoforte Studios on Michigan Avenue. Shalom, Peter.
Shalom.
So tell me about the genesis of your new project and what the title refers to.
This project, I guess, grew out of the last one, which was similarly autobiographical in nature. I did a one-man show 2 years ago at the Athenaeum Theater called Piano Diaries. That didn't work out the way I wanted it to. I think I took some wrong turns, to be honest, and in a sense it started out as a way to fix that.
A do-over?
Both, you know, yeah, a do-over or, you know, just redemption, whatever you want to call it. It really became something else altogether. I had maybe 5 years ago started writing kind of an autobiography, and I'm not sure why, I just felt the need to put it down. And so what I kind of did was I took some of the ideas in that and threw away about 95% of it, and then refocused it as a memoir as opposed to really an autobiography, more of a creative memoir. And there are even within this app or ebook or album, whatever you want to call it, there's fictional elements as well. So it started out as one thing and it ended up as something else. Early on, I decided it needed to be an app, because I wanted to combine the music with the story in an integrated way, you know, so that people could see or hear the connections between the words and the music without having to jump around between different platforms. So, it started basically as it grew out of the last project, but as I said, it became something completely different.
So someone would have this on their tablet, for example, and they read for a while, and then they tap something, and it plays music?
Right. There's an iOS version for iPad and iPhone, and in that, there's a music page, and there's a story page. But you can access the stories from the music page and the music from the stories page. So each chapter of the story has one or more tracks associated with it. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, having had, you know, this has only been out a little while, but just getting feedback from people, some people read the whole story without listening to the music, then go listen to the music, and then vice versa. And some people will read and listen, you know, read and listen, and kind of do both. That's obviously up to the reader, listener, how they approach it. But for my purposes, performing it very much feels, as I've said, it feels like I'm performing my autobiography, and it's a very strange sensation. Even if I do it without any multimedia elements to it, the performance, it's a sense of every little piece in it. I feel like I'm going from one part of my life to the next, or one room that I was in. It's a very interesting sensation as a performer. And I've never really, I've always suspected most of my music is highly autobiographical, as is for most people, and it's kind of unavoidable. But this, I've never felt it as directly as I have with this piece.
When you say some of it is fictionalized, what does that mean?
Well, there's a couple elements to that. First of all, I created a character that is called The Mountain, and he's an old bluesman. Uh-huh. And I created him mostly so I could have, as I say at the beginning of the book, somewhere, so I could have somebody to argue with in otherwise, you know, very, you know, it's a memoir, so it's about me, but I needed right. to have somebody outside of me in a
You're
sense,
telling the story, you know, too.
Right, right. So he's an interesting character. He's based on about three or four people I've known, and some I just, you know, known from a distance. So he helps, for me, you know, that character kind of helps break things up a little bit. If they're kind of, we have these kind of philosophical, musical, philosophical conversations in between, you know, three or four times. So it just, and then the other part of the fictional element is that I basically, except for members of my family, I change everybody's name to protect myself legally. and of course, you know, I'm writing in this first big chunk, and it's parts 1 through 4, and there's going to be others. It really covers from the time I'm about 4 till I'm 8 or 9. And of course, I'm having these encounters and conversations. It's based truly on memory, but of course, memory being what it is, I'm making some of these conversations up to a degree. So, you know, I see it as a kind of creative memoir as opposed to literal.
Okay. How many elements are involved in this then? Are there photos too, or is it words and music?
There are photos. Each chapter has an image associated with it, which is often some kind of artistic rendering of a photo, you know, of me when I was younger, or just some other, you know, something related to the kind of subject of the topic of that chapter. Okay. So that's, you know, those are the three main elements. And I should say, in the live show, which, as you said, the premiere is October 1st at Piano Forte. Mm-hmm. I am doing a limited amount of bringing in some imagery and also voiceovers. Just, you know, it probably adds 5 minutes to the overall show. But I felt the need, because I created this kind of memoir / album, I needed to bring that in a little bit within the live show without disrupting the musical flow. It just kind of fits in between certain pieces and sections where there are lines of me talking, voiceovers from the written part, and then a few images as well, just to help, I think, the audience, most of whom which will not have actually read it, to help them see the storyline and feel the connection between the story and the music.
And the story is largely your growing up within Chicago?
Yeah, that's all it is. Like I said, it's, you know, I grew up in a very politically charged time in Chicago. I was born in 61, and I very vividly remember the riots both on the west side after Martin Luther King was killed, and then the Democratic, you know, during the Democratic Convention, those were right near where we live. So, you know, it was a part of my life, and one of the kind of main themes, I would say, of the story is how those events and growing up in Chicago in general, how it shaped my musical thinking. There's a chapter actually called, I think it's called Politics in C Major, and it's really about how all those events, you know, influence the very notes one plays, and I firmly believe this.
So you're talking about the situation around you that was in the news. What was going on at home? What was your home life like?
It was a fairly normal upbringing in the sense of a fairly upper middle class, third generation Russian Jewish upbringing, secular. And I write a lot about that, the Jewish element of kind of assimilation versus remembering who you were. That is another theme in the story, and just my connection to those elements, my parents' connection to that kind of stuff, and how it influenced all of us, myself and my siblings. So it does cover, just stories of being very little and going to Cubs games and just growing up in a, we grew up on West Wellington, and it really talks a lot about just my experience of getting to know slowly the neighborhood. First, the people within the apartment building who were mostly like us, Jewish, third generation Russian Jewish, and then gradually experience others, over time, seeing the different people in the neighborhood and finding out about their stories. And that, again, that's a big thematic element too, is getting beyond your very limited kind of group and seeing the stories that are going on with other people's lives, including in that neighborhood. Learning later on that, we had encounters with Puerto Rican kids who clearly didn't like us being there. And I found out later we had, that neighborhood had been kind of urban renewed and those people had been moved out. So it's, about those kinds of encounters as well.
Okay. So all of this filters into your music. What did your parents have on? What did you play when you were a kid? What was on the radio? What was on the record player? I imagine that's what you were listening to back then.
Well, there are actually chapters about that. That's interesting. I mean, it was definitely it was a combination of the music of that time, which was of course the '60s. So it was Bob Dylan, and I think the first song I ever, pop song I ever remembered hearing, and I mentioned this, is the 49th Street Bridge Street. What's that song?
Oh, called? Yeah, Simon Garfunkel. Feeling Groovy.
Yeah, Feeling Groovy.
59th Street Bridge Song is its official title.
Right. So, I mean, that's the music.
No one calls it that. Just Feeling Groovy.
Right. So that's the music in general, that I heard. Joan Baez, Judy Collins. We went to hear these people. Bob Dylan. But my parents played a lot of classical music in the house. And that affected me in a different way. Uh-huh. It wasn't the music of our times, but it had a dramatic effect on my thinking, mostly probably subconsciously. Uh-huh. But later had a huge influence on how I created music.
Well, the new project has the word blues in it, and I know you also are into jazz. So, when did those influences come into your consciousness?
Those, and they don't actually appear in this part of the book. The next part of the book is where I kind of encounter the blues, and then subsequently jazz. I had a kind of epiphany experience in when I was the summer before high school, when we went to stay in Aspen for the summer and rented a house, and I found this guy teaching blues piano lessons in downtown Aspen, and I went and took lessons, and that's where I first encountered directly learning about the blues, and that kind of changed my life.
That's interesting.
A chapter coming up, and then right after that in high school, I was taking jazz lessons. intensely, and that became a huge part of it. Now, the title of the work, Blues Prelude and Fugue, has a lot of meaning. First of all, my feeling about blues is, you know, it changed everything in the world. It's in music. It was such a powerful fundamental statement in world music. And so it's a big part of who I am. But the Preludes and Fugues is a play on Preludes and Fugues. You know, which is kind of box thing, and that's kind of another huge element musically for me is counterpoint and what I learned from Bach and Beethoven and others like that.
So artists like Gershwin, who were able to fuse classical and jazz elements, must have a lot of meaning for you.
Well, sure. I mean, that's, you know, it's kind of generally considered the model, particularly Gershwin, of somebody who could do that, and of course he did it beautifully and generally very authentically. I'm not sure the degree to which he influenced me directly. It's, you know, I kind of had to find my own connection between European music and American music, and as I think everybody does, who almost, you know, everybody who plays jazz, there are connections there, and it's how you go about doing it.
When did you actually start playing piano?
I started playing by ear at 4.
Wow.
and, you know, making stuff up, and God knows what it was. And there's plenty about that. You know, there's a danger of mythologizing your own kind of musical genesis here, and I there's a chapter that I think is very funny about that. You know, I have memories of sitting down and playing my grandparents having this electric organ in their apartment, and going in there when I'm like 3 and a half and just sitting down and playing, and that's my first real memory. Of course, my parents were there with me, and they don't remember it at all.
Right.
So I'm, you know, is it a myth? Is it my own myth, or, you know, founding myth, or is it just, you know, did it really happen? I don't know. But I did start playing very early.
Okay. So with this, turning back to this project, was this just yourself, or did you have collaborators helping you with this? It's a tremendous amount of work, it sounds like, the writing and the composing.
Well, all the music was actually recorded in my home studio. I have a nice Yamaha grand piano here, and I got some decent mics, and I decided after experimenting with doing it various other places that it was both more economical and, from a creative standpoint, better for me to do it myself, the recording part. Now, I wrote it, it's all written by me, but I worked with a really great editor that I found. She's actually a wonderful Jewish woman in Las Vegas, and there's no way I would have gotten it to this point without her. I mean, you always hear that cliche that every writer needs a great editor, and did it make a difference. It helped me focus. So that was, you know, and then the app itself was, I designed it, but it was developed by some actual programmers.
Okay. Is writing itself a challenge for you, or is it something you enjoy as opposed to composing, using words instead of music?
I love doing it. And it's in some ways similar to the process of composing. In other ways, obviously quite different. The way I look at it is the reason in the final analysis, the reason why I chose to write something rather than just compose music and let the music tell the story is I came to understand over time that, you know, there were things that could be only expressed in music that you can never do with words, but the opposite is true as well, and there were ideas and thoughts and feelings that I needed words for. So I've been writing a lot over the last 10 or 15 years. I just haven't published anything. And this was, you know, my kind of introduction to doing that. And yes, I love it. It's a different process, but I love writing.
Yeah, use a different part of your brain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, and the early feedback from people who are writers who've seen it, they think it's very good. So I'm happy to see that. I mean, that was the part I'm most worried about.
first, you were confident about the music. The other one,
right. I mean, I got to the point where I had a fair amount of confidence working with my editor. And a fair amount of confidence with the words, but you know, you still don't know until you put it out there.
Right. So this time the music is going to be solo piano, or is there a band or ensemble with you on stage?
No, the whole album is solo piano. I wanted, you know, because it's a memoir, it's very personal. I want it to be a very kind of intimate, personal experience, at least for this first part. So it's just pure solo piano, no overdubs, nothing, and no, you know, I either make it happen or it doesn't happen. and I wanted that challenge. I've always wanted to do a solo piano album, and it's just a tremendous, solo piano is like the biggest mountain that there is as far as I'm concerned in music. I mean, it's just, it's all on you.
Right.
And I wanted to see if I could do it, and I think I pulled it off in this case. Right. And the next subsequent parts of this story will actually use a band, because it gets a little lonely up there by myself. So, and you know, that's a part of my life. So that's the next section. Mm-hmm. Next section, which will be released sometime next year, will be a larger group.
Okay. What was it that inspired you, though, in general, to write a memoir at this point in your life? Just something you needed to do to sort of look back over how it's been so far, or looking forward toward the future? I mean, what was the impetus of doing a memoir, you know, at this point in your life?
Kind of what you said, but you know, I think a big part of it was, honestly, trying to explain myself to myself, you know, both from a musical, why did I make, you know, certain decisions in my career, and even musical decisions, creative decisions, where do they come from? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess you reach a point in your life and you want to examine those things. How did I get to this point? Mm-hmm. And it just starts kind of flowing out, you know, you start with one idea and you end up with something else, but it's really, in some ways, no different than any artistic process I go through, which is, it's a process of discovery, trying to figure all this stuff out. So I think that's, you know, I'm 55, and, you know, you start, what are you going to do? You start looking back, and, and you want to see the connections between things, and I think that's where it came from.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. You've been very generous with your time. It's already been half an hour. I didn't really know how long you would be going. But looking forward, if possible, to coming to your show in October.
Yeah.
And tell us one thing about Piano Forte Studios. Is it a venue? Is it more of a recording studio? I hadn't heard of it before.
Well, it's actually all of the above. It's a really, first of all, it's on the 1300 block of South Michigan. I think it's 1340. Mm-hmm. And it's the building itself on the ground floor originally was also a just a piano dealer. Thomas Zells has run this shop for like 15 years in various locations in Chicago, but he built a studio that is also a concert hall. It's a real, you know, it's maybe seats 120 or something. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful modern space with great wood, and he's got high, you know, really an amazing Yamaha concert grand, probably the best performance piano you can get outside of, you know, Orchestra Symphony Hall, Symphony Center. And just, you know, they have videos, they have video equipment, lighting, they can live stream. It's just, it's you could record.
Right.
And I have recorded there, and it's a beautiful space.
I bet the acoustics
really
are amazing.
Really conducive to listening to music. So.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. Great talking to you.
You too. Take care.
All right. Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
This has been a podcast from the Jewish United Fund, Jewish Federation of Metropolitan Chicago. For more information, visit juf.org.